The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bethany Frankel here from Just Be with Bethany Frankel, and I am just going to say it. The drinks aisle needs an intervention. Bottles, cans, all promising health and wellness, but after a glug, you just shrug. Then there's Synergy Kombucha, real kombucha. Synergy supports mind and body through your gut with 9 billion probiotics. Yep, 9 billion probiotics. Can you even count that high? In flavors you will love. No hype, just quality, taste, and real benefits. That's kombucha made the right way. Don't chase fads. Choose standards. DM at Synergy Kombucha on Instagram with the code TheRealKombucha to get a free bottle while supplies last. Synergy, the kombucha with standards.
Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Trust. Believe.
Paranormal Family Stories by Important Banana 4521. Up until I was about 6 years old, my family, me, my mom, my dad, and my little brother, were living in a 5-story apartment building that was constructed by Banks. That will come in handy later. We were in the last apartment from the top, so there were no apartments above us, just the building's roof. It was the first apartment we lived in before we moved to another one. Since I was around 16 years old, whenever I asked my mom about the apartments we lived in, she would always tell me about the paranormal things that happened to us. For instance, my mom recalls when I was a baby, at the stage where I couldn't walk or talk. On the coldest of nights, she would dress me in the coziest wool clothes, the narrow-necked and hard-to-wear kind, and then put me to bed. But to her surprise, she would find me in the morning on the ground with the wool clothes removed. A baby cannot take those kinds of clothes off by himself. I even remember when I was in 4th grade, I struggled to wear that kind of wool clothing and needed help putting it on and taking it off. This phenomenon continued to happen until my mom bought a necklace with some religious writings from the Quran on it. It was a verse we believe protects us from jinn. Just after that, all of this stopped. We later moved when we got the money to do so. My mom also recalls that during prayer time, which is very early in the morning, my dad would go to pray and she would be alone in the apartment with me when I was a little child. She would hear a lot of sounds like cats and dogs barking from above us. There was nothing above us except the sky. There wasn't even a nearby building where that noise could have come from. My mom also recalls seeing a little girl standing in the middle of the hallway. She was just standing there. However, my mom ignored it because, as she says, she wanted to show that she wasn't afraid. Otherwise, the djinn would harass her more. The last thing I remember from this apartment, though I'm not sure if it's related to the things above, happened when I was about 6. My mom and dad went to the pharmacy and left me and my little brother at home. They locked us in their room so that we wouldn't hurt ourselves. At the time, we had a calendar that had this picture of a family giving each other presents. After my mom and dad had left, I watched the family in the picture start to turn around and look at me. They looked me right in the eye and smiled in this very scary way. I ran and hid in the wardrobe. My brother stood in his place bluntly, not even caring about what I did. Whenever I peeked through the wardrobe doors, the people in the picture would do the same thing. I was so scared that I went into drama mode and knocked everything off of my parents' desk onto the ground. My mom's explanation for all of this was that when this area was constructed by banks, it was left empty for a long time until it was put up for sale. She believes that people committed crimes there and possibly buried bodies there. Even after people moved into the area, my mom recalls that people in nearby buildings would find bodies in their entrances until they made the area brightly lit at night. So, according to her, it was filled with spirits.
The Ghost of My Son by Abby. This is a story that's been passed down in my family for a few generations. I've written this using mountain euphemisms and grammar, as it would have been told in the dialect of my family members. Enjoy. This story gives me the chills every time I tell it. As mountain people, we are no strangers to the unexplainable. The Appalachians are chock full of legends, mysteries, and ghostly stories. Here's one about our great uncle Frank, who worked in the coal mines of Lee County, Virginia, in 1917. This one's a bit longer, so hang in there. My great uncle Frank Cheek was the oldest of 12 children, born in 1892 in Lee County, Virginia, to my great-great-grandparents, Mary and James Cheek. To us, they were known as Great Meemaw Mary and Great Papa James. The two of them raised a staggering 12 children out of a small clapboard house, no bigger than a shoe, nestled down an old holler where they grew tobacco, raised cattle, and occasionally worked in the nearby coal mines. In those days, the coal mines were always open. You could work by the day and leave with cash in hand. Great Uncle Frank was the older brother to my great grandfather, James Jr. As the oldest two children, they had both spent time working up in the coal mines to earn extra money for the family. In 1915, during World War I, the two oldest boys, Uncle Frank, who was 23 at the time, and my great-grandfather, James Jr., only 19, were sent overseas to fight in the war. After serving a little over a year and a half in Europe, Uncle Frank was granted a 2-week furlough to return home to Lee County in the summer of 1917. He excitedly traveled back to that small, dusty clapboard house to spend those 2 weeks with Great Meemaw Mary and Great Papa James. Now, you might be thinking that a man out on furlough from a war overseas would take that time to sit and rest. But not Uncle Frank. In those times, regardless of what you had just been doing, if the opportunity was there, you worked when you could, where you could. After a few boring days on furlough, Uncle Frank decided that then was just as good of a time as any other to pick a few days in the coal mine up the road. On a summer morning during his furlough, he woke up around dawn and met Meemaw Mary out on the porch. The little clapboard house had a large front porch with no railings that ran from one end of the house to the other. Meemaw Mary would tie off her drying line across the two front posts and spend all day hanging laundry. Now, I've been told that she was a stoic, hard-working woman of conviction. She'd raised 12 children, and she'd let you know a thing or two if you crossed her. To her, what you knew is what you could see. No sense in worrying about anything besides what was right in front of you. On that morning, as she was starting the laundry, Uncle Frank came out on the porch and told her that he was going for a walk up to the coal mines down the road and put in a day's work. They exchanged a few words of endearment, and Uncle Frank went up on the road just after the sun had crept over the mountains. As the morning went on, Great Meemaw Mary spent a few hours washing, rinsing, and hanging the laundry out on the porch. She had just walked inside for a short spell and came back out to hang more laundry. As she looked out into the yard, she saw Uncle Frank standing under a huge old oak tree, about 15 yards off the porch. He was close enough where she knew it was her son, but far enough that she'd have to yell across the yard to speak to him. She smiled and called out, "Are you back already? Thought you'd be up there all day." Uncle Frank didn't answer. He continued to stand there and stare toward the house. Meemaw Mary, not thinking much of it, continued hanging the last few pieces of linens before walking back inside to grab more wet laundry. She came back out on the porch with a full basket of wet clothes. She looked out, and Uncle Frank was still standing in that same spot under the big oak tree. By this time, the sky had darkened a bit with rain clouds, and it had started to gently sprinkle outside. She looked at her son and shouted, "It's starting to sprinkle, Frank. Get up on this porch or you'll get wet and catch your death." Again, Uncle Frank didn't move and did not acknowledge his mother's words. Great Meemaw Mary, still not thinking too much of it, turned and walked back inside to wash another load of laundry. After about 15 minutes of being inside, she heard the sound of horses coming up the dirt driveway. She looked out, and two dusty men on horseback were now on her front porch. They jumped down, out of breath, and said, "Mrs. Cheek, there's been an accident up at the mine. Frank was involved." Before they could say another word, she looked out to the oak tree and said, "That can't be so. He was just here." But he was no longer at the tree. She hopped off the porch and circled the house, yelling, "Frank! Frank, where are you?" The two men, confused and pale in the face, said, "Mrs. Cheek, there was a cave-in at the mine. It was over an hour ago. Frank and a few others were in the middle of it, and we haven't been able to get the bodies yet. We saw him go in there, and he didn't come out." Meemaw Mary dropped to her knees in disbelief. He did indeed perish in that mine collapse in 1917, shortly after arriving to work that morning. Until the day she died in 1960, she swore this to be true. She always told the story of how her beloved son visited her one last time before his soul left this earth.
Have you ever had an unwanted thought really get stuck in your head, like in a way that felt deeper than being unsettled by it? Maybe you got caught in a spiral of endless what-if scenarios, couldn't stop picturing disturbing mental images, or kept questioning yourself and wondering things like, could I ever be capable of doing something terrible? Well, here's the thing. Almost everyone has thoughts like that. They just might not talk about them because they can be violent, frightening, or taboo. But if those thoughts are feeling stuck in your mind and causing a lot of distress, it might be a sign of obsessive compulsive disorder or OCD. OCD latches onto these thoughts and can make you feel like a monster, even though that isn't true. But that's what makes OCD so debilitating. The thoughts and fears can feel so real that it keeps people suffering in silence. Plus, not every therapist understands OCD or is even qualified to treat it effectively, which may make it difficult to reach out for help. So instead, people seek relief through certain mental and physical actions, even though they never seem to help in the long run. But you know what does help when you're struggling with OCD? Specialized therapy. And that's why I want to tell you about NoCD. With NoCD, you can do virtual therapy designed specifically for OCD. Their licensed therapists understand the most taboo and hard to talk about symptoms, and most importantly, they know how to help. Every NoCD therapist is trained in exposure and response prevention, or ERP, a type of specialized therapy that's the most proven treatment for OCD. NoCD also accepts many major insurance plans, including UnitedHealthcare, Aetna, Cigna, and more, making life-changing treatment accessible and affordable. And they provide always-on support between your therapy sessions, so you're never alone. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, please don't wait. Go to NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with their team and find out more about how they can help. That's NOCD.com to learn more and book a free 15-minute call.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
The Little People of the Frio by Tripoli One. I'm finally telling the exact story of what happened to me and a friend years ago, because it still haunts me. We were young, drinking, and being complete idiots. We were camped near the river opposite of the soccer pitch, right under the shadow of the old baldy cliffs. Despite warnings from other campers that the quote-unquote spirits are protective there, I started aimlessly chopping at a tree with a hatchet, taking a huge chunk out for no reason. We threw trash around and basically treated the place like a dumpster. However, that night, the retribution began. It started with shadows coming from the outside of the tent. Even though there wasn't enough light to cast a shadow, the air outside seemed to intensify. We saw a weird cold glow that shouldn't have been there. Through the nylon, we saw them. These little people. They were about 2.5 to 3 feet tall, stocky, and had a dramatic hunched over posture. They were completely covered in thick, matted, ancient looking hair. They began marching in this tight circle around our tent. The chilling part was, as they circled us, they didn't just walk. They were rhythmically rising up and down, almost like a predatory bobbing motion, while whispering low, guttural chants that we really couldn't understand. The footsteps were heavy and physical, and they started poking at the tent. They pushed into the fabric so hard that it was actually hitting my friend's head. We were terrified. Every time we unzipped the tent to scream at them, the camp was just completely empty. The second that we zipped it back up, the rising and falling of shadows and the chanting would reappear. One of them was holding a staff or a stick. Has anyone ever experienced anything like this? Or even the physical poking? We didn't believe the warnings until the forest literally surrounded us. I was very skeptical of the paranormal until this happened. I still don't understand how my buddy and I could see the same thing, or how every time that we unzipped the tent, there was literally nothing there.
I Was Chasing After a Ghost by AJ. When I was around 16 years old, we moved into a one-story apartment. It was only my mom, my two sisters, and me. Before I start, I need to describe the apartment complex because it's important. The community consisted of multiple apartments next to one another, separated by tall walls for privacy. Every unit had a courtyard at the entrance, big enough for a small garden, a table with chairs, and a grill. There was a narrow passageway on one side of the apartment that led to another small patio in the back. That patio had no exit. If we wanted to get to the apartment next door, we had to go through our courtyard, out the main entrance onto the street, and walk about 20 feet to the neighbor's door. There was no way to jump between apartments. The walls were too high. Anyway, what I'm about to tell you is something that I still can't explain. It was around 4 p.m. I was home with my youngest sister, Marilyn, and she had a friend over for a playdate. My mom and my other sister were at work, so I was basically babysitting. I was in my room cleaning and listening to music, waiting for my best friend Sydney to come over, so we could babysit together and maybe watch a movie. The music in my room was loud, but I could still hear my little sister and her friend running around the house. Or at least, I thought I could. Suddenly, I heard a knock on my bedroom door. My first thought was, why is Sydney knocking? She always just walked in. I paused the music and said, "Come in." No response. So I walked over and opened the door. "Why are you knocking, silly?" I said. There was nobody there. I immediately assumed it was my sister and her friend trying to play tricks on me. I crossed the hallway to my sister's room and said, "Ha!" trying to scare them. But there was no one there. I opened her closet. It was empty. That's when I noticed the house was completely silent. Too silent. All I could hear was the low hum of the fridge in the kitchen. Still thinking they were messing with me, I ran out to the front porch where our garden and grill were. I stopped in the middle of the courtyard. That's when, out of the corner of my eye, I clearly saw my sister, or at least what looked like her, running toward the passageway that leads to the back patio. I didn't see her face clearly. She was already turning the corner. But the height matched. The two pigtails matched. I thought, I knew she was up to something. "I'm gonna get you," I yelled as I ran after her. I chased her down the entire passageway, all the way to the back patio. And remember, this patio had no exit. The only way out was the same way you came in. I turned the corner and shouted, "Ha! Got you!" There was nobody there. I froze. Goosebumps covered my entire body. I couldn't move. I was 100% sure I was going to see my sister and her friend standing there. I had just chased her. I had seen her run. but the patio was empty. Completely empty. After a few seconds, I snapped out of it and ran as fast as I could back to the front courtyard. "Marilyn, where are you?" I yelled. Suddenly, my sister and her friend walked in through the main entrance door, looking completely confused. I stared at her. "Did you knock on my door? When did you leave? Where were you?" She looked at me like I was crazy. "What? We were trying to get Rosie next door to come play with us, but she's not home. What happened? Why are you being so weird?" I searched her face, waiting for her to laugh or confess she'd been playing a trick on me. Nothing. She looked genuinely confused. All I said was, "Don't leave without telling me first. Stay inside, or I'll tell Mom." She agreed and went back inside with her friend, still clueless. A little while later, Sydney showed up. I told her what had happened. She believed me, but we didn't really talk about it much after that. When my mom and other sister got home, I told them too. They didn't think much of it. It's been more than 10 years now. I eventually moved to another city, but my mom still lives there. Every time I visit, I think about that day. I was the first one to experience something in that apartment. And after that, things started to get weird. I'll write about those stories another time.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.
The Mystery Egg by Blundered in One. Last night, I bought a 6x5 tray of 30 eggs. When I got home, I realized one egg was broken. The carton was compostable, So I cut out the damaged section and threw the broken egg away. I then cooked one egg in front of everyone in the kitchen and then went to bed with 28 eggs left in the tray. There is absolutely no chance I used an extra egg from the fridge or miscounted at that point. We had 0 eggs at home before this happened. Now, this morning, I used 2 more eggs to make an omelet. That left 26 in the tray. The tray sits under a table shelf in the kitchen. We cleaned the kitchen earlier, sweeping and mopping the area around the tray, and the floor was completely spotless. There were no spills, residue, nothing. A little later, we suddenly noticed a fresh splatter of raw egg on the floor near the tray. It looked like at least one whole egg's worth of contents. There was no shell anywhere. We checked the tray again. It still had 26 eggs. We are certain that the floor was cleaned 10 minutes before, so the egg appeared in that short window. We decided to transfer the eggs into another tray to count them again. 3 of us did this together, placing each egg into the second tray one at a time. We counted 24 eggs, not 26. That alone was confusing. Then we moved the eggs back to the original tray, and somehow they filled all 26 spots again. To make it stranger, the other tray only has 25 slots. After putting the eggs in it, only one slot was empty, even though the numbers made no sense. None of us were on any type of drugs. Our home is well ventilated and regularly checked for gas leaks or anything that could affect our perception. At this point, the whole situation feels surreal, and I think I need to call it a day and try not to think about it anymore.
Weird Little Creatures Playing Beside My Bed by Zealous Ideal Job 6959. This story happened 15 years ago when I was 7. I used to visit my grandparents on the weekends. They lived in an old house not too far away from where I lived at the time. I remember hearing kids playing a game inside my grandparents' home before I entered. At the time, I thought it was just my cousins. When I got inside, I saw none of my cousins were there. I got confused. I asked my grandma if she had heard anything. She said that it was probably just my imagination. I felt okay, so I didn't ask anything else. Later that night, after watching some cartoons with my grandpa, I headed for bed. When I entered the room I was sleeping in, I felt a really strange sensation. As if I wasn't alone. But I wasn't the kind of kid who got scared easily, so I climbed into bed and went to sleep. Not long after, I suddenly woke up. I heard children's voices near me again. Everything was so dark, but I could see the silhouette of some very small people. They were about 40 centimeters, a little over 1 foot. They were running and laughing. Right beside my bed. That time I got scared. I closed my eyes and jumped out of bed, then started running in the direction of my grandparents' bedroom. I told them what happened, and of course, they didn't believe me. They said it was probably just a dream. Since I was so scared, though, they at least let me sleep in bed with them. And as I was trying to sleep, I started hearing those same voices again. They were coming from that other room, and they were really loud. The next morning, I told my mother about the experience. Thankfully, she believed me. She actually said that it happened to her, too, when she was young. She said that they are some kind of fairy that live with my grandparents, and that they are somehow trapped there. She also said only kids could see them, She told me that when she was younger, she used to leave out candy so they wouldn't disturb her at night. I took her advice and started leaving out candy whenever I slept at their house. I never saw or heard them again.
I accidentally scared an ET by OL. This happened in the summer of 2020. I was living alone on a rural island at the time, and I was going to bed as usual. I gained limited awareness. I was standing in an old apartment, walking. The concrete walls were warm yellow, with occasional tinted cracks. I walked straight and made a few turns. I remember passing a lampshade with a yellow light and seeing dust-covered cables at its base. The floor was made of wood, a warm brown. I got the impression of an old apartment office. I gained more awareness. I realized I wasn't walking voluntarily. In my peripheral vision, I noticed a huge greenish-brown palm a few inches from the right side of my head. The palm, with its fingers, was as long as my head from jaw to the top. It had four fingers, and the fleshy part of the palm underneath the thumb was larger compared to human hands. The fingers were long, and they did have nails, but different from ours, broader, much longer, and pointed. I felt the hand was doing something to my head from that distance. I could think, barely, but my body would not follow. I was trapped inside my own body, but I didn't panic. I didn't feel bad at all. I was just at this decreased level of consciousness, like when you're very sleepy. It never even occurred to me to resist or allow the involuntary movements. I kept walking involuntarily. I remember passing by some machines that I can't recall clearly. We were moving together with whoever or whatever was behind me. I would pass those machines and occasionally hear a comment in my head. I remember having brief conversations that I can't really recall. We reached one particular machine and I stopped walking. I remember that one in more detail. It was a vertical metallic cylinder with off-white zigzag reinforced parts wrapping around it. At its top, approximately 6 feet tall, was a transparent dome. I could see the inside. My face was right in front of it. The inside was mostly empty, but at the center were four short stands, each holding a piece of dark brown biological material. I focused on them. They were living beings in an embryonic position. They weren't human embryos, though. Their legs were short, and their arms were positioned like chicken wings. They were pointed, but not having formed fingers yet. Their eyes were large, black, and glossy. Their jaws were prominent despite their apparent age. I didn't perceive any kind of fluid inside the dome. The embryos weren't moving, though. For a moment, I was concerned that they wouldn't survive outside their womb. Or I didn't know if they were alive at all. I got curious, though. I spoke, wanting the being behind me to hear. "What are these?" I asked. The reply appeared in my head. "Those are the prisoners." I thought that was odd. At that moment, I instantly became more aware, vividly aware. It didn't feel like I was in a dream anymore. My analytical mind had just begun working, and I wanted to inquire about these quote-unquote prisoners. "If they're prisoners," I said, and turned around to face them, "why don't you set them free?" He was shocked to see me do this. I felt it the moment I turned to address him directly. I saw the being. It was very tall and skinny. Its skin was wrinkled and dark green. It was wearing a bright purple cloak with a raised vampire-style collar. Its head was disproportionately large and wrinkled. Its eyes were huge, but they were like human eyes, having whites, irises, and pupils. The irises and pupils took up more space than they do in human eyes. The iris was yellow with black lines. The whole eye was actually very beautiful, not scary at all. But he was very scared. He recoiled and took a step back, eyes and mouth wide open, arms straight and extended. I had just begun to think, "Relax," when I noticed another green being to the left of my peripheral vision. That one had completely black slanted eyes. It was sitting at a desk, very much like those raised ones you see at the hotel receptions. It's where you can't see their hands. But the desk was new, sleek, and metallic. We weren't in a dusty old apartment anymore. The second green being noticed what was happening. It was looking at something in front of them, but when his colleague got scared, he raised his head slightly to look at me. And that's when the memory ends. I woke up to find a rash on my right side with a small hole in it. It didn't look like any kind of abduction mark that I've heard of, but I always thought that the timing was interesting. At the time, I had never woken up to any sort of bug bite, though I know what they look like. I suppose my curiosity and resistance to the theme of keeping prisoners broke his psychic hold. When that happened, I was free to move and speak, and my level of consciousness and perception of the surroundings were clear. I think he didn't expect this to happen. That wasn't in the script. He didn't know how to handle it. Alternatively, the shock might have been a reaction to a patient emergency. In any case, the wording always made me wonder. When he said prisoners, he said it casually, but not too dismissive. What do you think? Have you ever scared an ET?
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program.
I'm able to live my life and still hit my goals.
Lose more at WeightWatchers.com. Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers.
I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers, watch it work.
Jumping right into some listener feedback, let's talk nipples.
Okay, let's do it. What about them?
Well, that is one topic that got brought up in our comments this week. And I love, as you know, manipulating the AI description of our outro.
Right.
So yeah. Let's go straight to listener feedback and nipples. And we'll address Christina's comment referencing episode 219. Men have nipples because all human embryos develop based on a female blueprint. Yes, that's true. During the first few weeks in the womb before the Y chromosome activates to initiate male development. So it seems like we start getting nipples before we start getting the Y chromosome.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Listen, this is Odd Trails. This is an odd conversation. So
yeah, fair enough.
I had no idea why we had nipples. I've got nipples, Fokker. Can you milk me? let's go on to Zoe's comment here, also referencing episode 219. The business remodeling is so true. A mountain town my family used to go to all the time had a local coffee shop with a beautiful old baking oven. And it made the place feel so cozy. But a few years ago, they remodeled, they got rid of the oven, and now it looks like every chain coffee shop.
Womp, womp, womp.
You know, it happened to that one restaurant we used to go to, and I know you know which one I'm talking about, the one that was all dim inside, out in the middle of nowhere.
Yep, with the red lighting. It was such a mood, such a vibe, but not anymore. It's all bright and just,
yeah.
I would rather take a food that's a solid 7 out of 10 with a perfect vibe than a 9 out of 10 food with something very sterile and uninspiring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually haven't even gone back since you told me that they changed the inside, because that was like the main draw for me. It looked like the type of little restaurant that you'd see in Sopranos, like them meeting up to discuss a deal or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the best. I loved it. I love the food. I only went there when I was a kid, but it was just like a treat. It was a special event. And it's also kind of on the outskirts of town, so you'd take a trip to go out there. But yeah, it's just happening to everything.
It reminded me of the bar in Blood Simple.
Blood Simple, what's that?
The Coen brothers' first movie.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. I think the oldest one from them I've seen was Miller's Crossing. I don't think I've seen anything before that. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I won't spoil anything, but it's good. Really, really good. A typical solid indie flick. With lots of twists and turns and good foreshadowing and all that.
I love when a director or directors in that case nail their first movie. Like they didn't have to go through directing a bunch of other movies to get into the flow. They just
did it. Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as we know, I'm sure they had a bunch of smaller projects that they never released, and that could have very well been the first one that they felt proud of to release to the world. Shubidoo-Wah brought something up that's worth mentioning. They say, have you guys seen all the documents that were released on the Library of Congress website just before the Epstein files? They quietly put out thousands of reports of UAPs and UFOs dating years back. They're totally admitting aliens are real, and nobody cares, because it turns out monsters also exist. They're just human monsters. Yeah, I did see some of that, and I also saw something recently of former President Barack Obama on a podcast. You saw that too?
Yeah.
He was straight up asked about aliens, and he answered it very carefully. He said, yes, they're real, but, and then he kind of pivoted to let it be known that there's nothing going on with Area 51, nothing to see here. So he didn't really confirm that the government confirmed that they're real. That very well could have been his own personal opinion. It wasn't very clear. And the person who was doing the interview didn't do a good job on following up a bit more. How do you just let that one slide?
They didn't press him at all. Like, and that was like a very important question. Obviously, the interviewer was excited to ask it. But Obama kind of did that one thing where it's like, tell them one truth and then they'll believe the rest of your lies. Mm. So he's like, here's the one truth. Aliens exist. But Area 51, all those stories that you hear, nothing to see. Like, okay.
All just a big red herring like everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like everything is a distraction from something else. That's just what the news cycle that we live in these days, and it sucks.
Yep.
Yeah. I wanted to address another comment from Spotify from Matthew, referencing way back to episode 9. They said, I relate so much to growing up in a Pentecostal church. I grew up in a born-again church, and they would speak in tongues and coerce members into tithing. I, too, spent a lot of money from my first job into tithing this church. And I, too, figured out I was in a cult, and I ended up looking at the bite model of cult behavior during my deconstruction phase. I'm agnostic now, and it's all just a bad memory of the past. And yes, I wanted to read that out because it was kind of, you know, personal, and they addressed a personal thing about me. If you're new to the podcast, I came from a Pentecostal background. It's very culty, very controlling. Women are treated just awful, just terrible. Yet Stephen Hassan, he has the bite model that it's a really great way to evaluate and get yourself out of a cult to see if you are in a cult. BITE stands for Behavior, Information, Thought, and Emotional Control. And his website for BITE is a great resource. Books are really great. If, you know, I think both you and I, regardless of what our beliefs are, because I'm sure we believe quite different things these days, organized religion, when money comes into play and control comes into play, is always a bad case. Doesn't matter what you believe.
Yeah, the belief system itself is hardly ever the real problem. I mean, obviously it can be, but it's when certain people get their grips on certain power and manipulate people to do their own personal selfish bidding. It's really disgusting to see. And also for people that move away from what could be or what should be a good solid faith just because of lots of bad apples, or a huge orchard for that matter, just completely rotten. It's really sad to see.
Moving on to the final one here so we can get to some stories. ABK on Discord said, I liked the story about the father-in-law visiting the new baby.
Mm-hmm.
I had a dream the other night. My grandma was at my workplace. We didn't hug or slow down to chat, really. She just said, I've been taking care of him, and she moved on to her next task. My grandma died in 2018, and I have not had any dreams about her until now. My baby is almost 3 months old now, and I think she was letting me know that she's one of his guardian angels. That's precious.
That's sweet. That is sweet. I love that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not quite a guardian angel type of story, but I suppose we could move on to the Ghost of My Son story by Abby.
Mm-hmm.
Love me a good Appalachian story, as I know you do and most of our listeners.
Yeah, right there on the ley line. Love it.
So it was interesting how Frank's mother saw him twice, two separate times. Like, she sees him underneath the oak tree, goes inside, comes back outside, and still sees him. So I think that eliminates any sort of idea that she may have been hallucinating or imagining things. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't just a mistaken glimpse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she didn't mistake something or someone for Frank. They saw Frank twice in two different locations. That doesn't just, you don't just mistake two different people in two different places.
Let alone your own child. I think that's also notable too. Not just a familiar face. It's your own. You know who your kids are. You know who your family is.
Oh, yeah.
So for her to have seen him, hollered at him and all that, like, there's no mistaking it. And I do like how she was presented as this no-nonsense type of lady who wouldn't really buy into any sort of paranormal ghostly thing until that experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really interesting.
Yeah, she didn't panic when she saw Frank. She just kept hanging up laundry.
Yeah, as one does. And I've heard several different things about Appalachian stories where there's a belief that the dead come home one last time. So maybe he had, I mean, it's clear that he already perished by that point when they came on the horses and let her know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So that could have just been Frank's way of coming home one last time to acknowledge his mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Good story like these.
Mm-hmm. I did like the bedside fairy story, just the way it was described. These 40 centimeter, I believe, foot tall shadowy things running around in the bedroom. Kind of a similar thing. And I also thought of crows, how I guess some people like to give crows shiny objects and crows are attracted to them. Even though it's overstated, they don't actually prefer shiny things. They would take food over that any day. But leaving out the candy, maybe these things are fairy crows that can take on human shape and run around the bedroom to make seven-year-olds scared to death.
Yeah, we were bordering on a medieval fantasy episode this week because I had that one about the little people, like the, what I imagined were just like gnomes or something running around outside of this person's tent. And when I saw that you picked this bedside fairy story, I got stoked. And I think that these are cool stories where they're talking about fairies, gnomes, little people, little, you know, little hairy beings, the stuff that you would find in like a Tolkien book.
Yeah, little Ewoks too.
Yeah, yeah. People are having real experiences with these things.
I like them. Speaking of little things, you asked about my favorite Pokemon. Was that really about work or are you just being silly?
It is funny that you bring that up now. So we got a potential sponsor and they asked what our favorite Pokemon was. I won't say who the sponsor is because I'm not going to give anybody a shout out until we get that money. But it is a very cool sponsor that I think we would both be really excited about.
Wow.
And they asked what our favorite Pokemon was. I went ahead and responded before I ever heard from you because I just wanted to make sure that we got back to them timely. So I told them that my favorite was Snorlax because I would always win Pokemon matches with Snorlax for some reason.
Who'd you tell them my favorite was?
Well, I didn't. Like I said, because I just responded.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah. And I forget which was yours.
I like Gloom and Alakazam for different reasons. I just think Gloom, when I was a kid, it was really funny seeing the drool on his face.
Yeah.
I like the cute ones, Mew, Oddish, all those ones. Abra, another little one. I like the cute ones more than the more vicious, menacing ones.
Me too. I just like Snorlax, like I said, just because I would always, for some reason, I would always beat my cousin when I played with a deck with Snorlax. But I do love the psychic Pokemon because they're so hard to play against.
Yeah, psychic's where it's at for sure.
Another one that I wanted to touch on was my mystery egg story because, you know, there's nothing spooky going on here. They just have these disappearing and reappearing eggs. They can't explain it. They don't know what's going on. They checked all of their gases going off in their house, make sure there's nothing affecting them mentally or health-wise, but they're just seeing these eggs disappear, reappear. And it got me thinking about all of these missing items that have been going on in my home. So it's just me and my wife and our dogs. We don't have anybody else in here. Rarely anybody visits our house, but we've been having all of our silverware and dishes just disappear.
No ferrets?
No. We don't take them out of the house, but our silverware is disappearing, and specifically these little dip cups that we have, these little metal dip cups for like ranch and ketchup and stuff. We have a ton of them. They're all just gone. We have no idea where they've gone to. We've searched the house. We're not throwing things away. We've searched the house everywhere. We've cleaned the house. We can't find them anywhere. I don't know what's happening. Is this happening to anybody else?
See, that's really strange that it's happening to you without having kids or anything like that. I don't think you're throwing a bunch of parties either where you're having friends that are pocketing your awesome dip cups.
Whenever I do have somebody over, we're in the garage. I don't even let them come in the house because the dogs go crazy.
You know, that's really bizarre. I don't know how many times I've bought just individual packs of spoons just because they disappear. I don't know what it is about spoons, but I can't seem to keep more than three in my drawer at any time. I end up having to buy new ones and it drives me up the wall. So you're not the only one. I have no idea.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess we've run our course this episode.
Yeah, I guess so. Cool doppelganger story by AJ. Nothing else to add, but that was really cool. No other exits for your sister to run off to. So
yeah.
No idea what to make of that. Just we got a doppelganger. Acknowledged, heard, appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah. I could go on and on about that story where the author scared the ET and they like woke up from their weird out of body experience thing. But I guess I could bring up one thing about that. So abduction stories always sound so similar to astral projection for me because I don't think that you're really going anywhere because if you were being abducted, a lot of these people are in bed with their spouses. There would be no way for them to get in or out of the house. Like they just kind of like a lot of the times they just wake up and they're on like a ship or somewhere else and then they wake up back in their body. I think that there could be like maybe a connection to astral projection, maybe
the same realm, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. These ETs are visiting us from a different dimension and taking us to their dimension, but they're taking our astral body. The only thing is a lot of these people wake up with physical problems. Like for instance, this person woke up with that weird rash on their side with a hole in their skin the next morning after this quote unquote abduction story. That doesn't happen in astral projection stories. So yeah, it's kind of it's a weird middle ground here, a weird liminal space that they're going to. And I don't know what to make of it. Abduction stories scare the hell out of me. There's just something really scary about having no control over your faculties and just being abducted and taken to a ship and experimented on. That's just my biggest fear.
It's like a much more interactive type of sleep paralysis, basically. A lot scarier. Yeah. I don't know what to make of it either. I kind of lean more skeptical than believing with most things in general. I think there's always going to be some sort of rational explanation for the most part, but I still don't rule out the paranormal possibilities. But abductions are one of those things where it could be a number of things, and I don't want to discount anybody's experiences or make them feel like they can't submit them, but I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, hey, everybody, if you got your abduction stories, you've got your mysterious disappearing eggs, you've got some family stories, you got doppelgangers, send them in. We definitely want to hear them. Send them in to stories@oddtrails.com and sign up for our Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails to get ad-free versions of all of our episodes at a higher bitrate. And check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast. We'll see you guys next week. Everybody stay safe.
Peace out.
Bethany Frankel here from Just Be with Bethany Frankel, and I am just going to say it. The drinks aisle needs an intervention. Bottles, cans, all promising health and wellness, but after a glug, you just shrug. Then there's Synergy Kombucha, real kombucha. Synergy supports mind and body through your gut with 9 billion probiotics. Yep, 9 billion probiotics. Can you even count that high? In flavors you will love. No hype, just quality, taste, and real benefits. That's kombucha made the right way. Don't chase fads. Choose standards. DM at Synergy Kombucha on Instagram with the code TheRealKombucha to get a free bottle while supplies last. Synergy, the kombucha with standards.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.